I miss those days. All the days when I was able to go into the presence of the Lord, he said, my heart is dry, my soul is dry. And you know, there may be some of God's people that are here today and that you are here and your soul is dry. You remember the time when you came into the presence of God. You got fired up that when the holy heavenly hands and the gospel motions would come forward and minister like they did today, there would be something that would just fire your soul up. And now you're just as dry as salt.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Thirsting for God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Thirsting for God.
Thirst is by coming and drinking from the fountain of God. And I would pray today that all of God's people would thirst for him, would have a desire that's deep within their soul to just come into the presence of the living God, that there's something that is in you that just draws you on a daily basis to just know God, to be satisfied by him. You know, I was thinking that if you are thirsty and somebody comes and offers you a piece of bread, you might eat it, but that's not really what you want. You want something to drink. If you're thirsty and somebody comes and they give you a t-shirt, you might take it, but that's really not what you want. If you're thirsty and somebody comes and gives you a pen and a piece of paper, you might take it, but that's not really what you want. When you're thirsty, the only thing that you want is something to drink. And when we are thirsting for God, we won't find ourselves allowing that thirst to be satisfied at other fountains, but we will satisfy that thirst at the fountain of God. If you'll look with me in your notes, we're going to do a little teaching first. We're going to look at the background of this psalm. Now, those of you who would take an Old Testament survey class, when you came to the point where you studied the Psalms, you would notice that in front of Psalm 42 is what's known as a superscription. And the superscription says, this is to the chief musician, a maskil for the sons of Korah. So in the notes, we read that in the superscription, this psalm is to the chief musician, maskil for the sons of Korah. The word maskil indicates that this is a teaching or instructional psalm. The word maskil means didactive. It means that it's a teaching psalm that oftentimes not only was this used for worship when they sang, but it was also used to teach about God and about how we are to respond to him in times of difficulty. So when you see the word maskil, that means that this is a teaching psalm. The reference to the sons of Korah in the Psalms means that they either composed it or they performed it. You see, the sons of Korah were the ministers of music during the time of David. That when David reinstituted the temple worship, that the sons of Korah, he beckoned them to come and to lead the congregation in worship. And so this psalm right here, they either performed it or they composed it, or maybe even both. The sons of Korah also, as we look at this psalm, probably wrote this as they reflected upon the life of David. Now, there's one thing that we need to notice in the psalm, and it's in verse 4. And in verse 4, the psalmist says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude and went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept thy holy day. And so for some reason or other, the psalmist is unable to go to the temple because he says in verse 4, when I remember these things, that it had been some time before he had been in the house of God, and he was missing being in the house of God. And he had this desire as he thought about the times when he used to go frequent the house of God during the holy days, and he would bow before the Lord, and that he would worship God, and that he would offer sacrifices unto the Lord. And he said, oh, I miss those days. Oh, the days when I was able to go into the presence of the Lord. He said, my heart is dry, my soul is dry. And you know, there may be some of God's people that are here today and that you are here and your soul is dry. You remember the time when you came into the presence of God. You got fired up that when the holy heavenly hands and the gospel motions would come forward and minister like they did today, there would be something that would just fire your soul up. And now you're just as dry as sawdust. You're dry as oatmeal. Nothing moves you. You sat there this morning in the midst of a powerful time of worship. You just sat there and you were unmoved in your spirit. And the psalmist said, I remember when I used to go to the house of the Lord. And my soul was happy. My soul was on fire. And many people believe that these sons of Korah wrote this psalm in reference to David when he was on the run from Absalom. Remember, his own son began to persecute him, and he barred David from coming to the city of Jerusalem, and so David was unable to come to the temple. So many people believe that this is the occasion for the writing. Now, another interesting thing about this psalm is that many commentators believe that Psalm 42 and 43 were originally one psalm, and that somewhere they got split up. And the reason that they make this observation, we want to look at Psalm 42, 5, 11, and then 43, 5. Look at Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Look at verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And then look at 43 verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health and the countenance of my God. And so many, as they look at these two psalms, said that this was originally one psalm. And that the psalmists, when they began to break down the Psalter, that they divided these two for some reason here. And it makes a lot of sense to me that this is just one psalm that came together. In the psalm, we see two refrains. What's a refrain? Two movements. And they are separated actually by that phrase, why art thou cast down? Or they end up with that phrase, why art thou cast down? If you look at your notes this morning, we will look at the outline of the psalm. The first refrain, the psalmist expresses his desire for God. Verses 1 and 2, as the hart pants after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? That's in the first refrain. The second thing in the first refrain is that the psalmist is taunted by his enemies. Look at verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is your God? He said, I've been going through something. I don't know where you are today, but you might be going through something. And people are looking at you saying, man, you can't know God because all the stuff that's happening to you, where is your God? You wouldn't be going through all that you're going through if God was with you. Where is your God? And so the psalmist finds himself taunted by his enemies in verse 3. And then we read verse 4 where he remembers the former times in the presence of God. And then this refrain is capsized by verses 5 and 6 where he says once again, why art thou cast down, O my soul? This brother had a case of depression, discouragement. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermons and from Mount Mizar. So that's the first refrain right there. And then the psalmist is so distraught The psalmist has such a desire for God to show up in the midst of his situations. And I don't know where you're at today, but maybe you are here. You're waiting. You want God to show up. You're in a situation and you're thirsting for God. You're saying, God, I need you. God, if you don't come and if you don't show up, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so the psalmist, instead of ending the psalm right there, he starts to refrain all over again because he expresses his desire for God again in 7 and 8. Look what he says in verses 7 and 8. This is a powerful passage right here. He says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. Look, he gives the analogy of the sea. And he talks about the billows and how it seems like, you know, the billows are rolling, and they are coming from all the way out. And as we think about this hurricane bearing upon our Gulf Coast, that these waters are coming all the way out from the middle of the ocean. And they're coming, and they're going to slap up against the land. And then they're going to go back out again, and they're going to come back, and they're going to slap up against the land. He said, deep calls unto deep. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Lord, my soul is like the middle of the ocean, and I'm crying out from the deepest, remotest part of my inner soul, and I'm crying out to you, God. I'm crying out, Lord, I'm appealing to the deepness of your spirit. Lord, everything that's down in you, everything that you're about, everything, all the power, Lord, all the compassion, all the mercy, all the grace that's deep down within you, God. He said, the deepness of my soul is crying out for the deepness of your soul. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been there before? You just out of the innermost resources of your soul, you were so tormented and you were in so much anguish that you called out unto God and you said, God, I'm appealing to the deepness that's within you. He's expressing this desire for God once again. In verse 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All the waves and the billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the day, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. And then once again, as he goes in his second round of expressing this desire for God, he enters this second refrain by once again talking about how his enemies have taunted him. Verse 9, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemies. As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? So in the second refrain, we see that he's taunted by his enemies once again. And then finally, the psalmist closes out with this encouragement and this hope in God and this continual desire to praise him. Verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. See, the psalmist learned to praise God even in the midst of what he was going through. He still had hope. He didn't let his hope wane. He was overwhelmed by his circumstances. The waters were flooding his soul, but he still retained his hope and trust in God and still admonished himself to praise the Lord. As we look at this whole idea of thirsting for God, what a powerful psalm. We see the psalmist. You know what the psalmist wanted? He only wanted one thing. He wanted God to show up. That's all he wanted. He just wanted God to show up in his situation. And so we're talking about thirsting for God today. Man, do you thirst for God? You know, if you were to write out the activities of your week, how much of that time would be spent thirsting for God? See, the psalmist, it was 24/7 with him. God was on his mind. God was on his heart. He wanted God to show up in his circumstances. And so as we look at the outline today, we see that we have the picture of thirst, we have the place of thirst, the pursuit of thirst, and the produce of thirst. First of all, we see the picture of thirst. The psalmist uses a metaphor. He talks about this deer. this deer that is wandering through the woods. And maybe the deer, it's been days or maybe even weeks since the deer has had any water. The deer's tongue is parched and dry. His lips are blue and cracked. His soul is exasperated, and he just feels like he's about ready to faint. He feels like he's about ready to just lay down and die. But he knows that somewhere there's some water out there. He realizes that when he was growing up, he remembered a watering hole that his mother used to take him to, and that him and his other siblings would drink until their thirst was quenched. And so he journeys to find that place. In the meantime, all the while, what is he thinking? He's thinking that I need water. I need water. My tongue is hanging out of my mouth. I need water. My lips are cracking. I need water. I'm parched in my soul. I need water. Every step that he takes, he's saying that I need water. Every move that he makes, he's saying that I got to find the right move. I got to go the right way because I got to find the place where I can quench my thirst. Every step he takes and every move he makes, his thoughts, his ideas, his mind is consumed with the idea that I need water. The psalmist says, as the heart pants after the water brook, that same desire that deer has, Lord, my soul pants after thee. Lord, I need to know every day I'm searching for you, Lord. I love you, God, and I need to know every day, Lord, that I can drink at your well. Lord, I get up in the morning and I begin from the onset of my day with this thirst that I have, Lord, to seek you and to pursue you. And Lord, as I go through my life all day long, Lord, I'm thinking about where can I go to quench the thirst that I have for God. You know, if Brother Jeff, if you could put up that one slide with the circles on it where it has God in the middle. You know, as I seek, you know, where can I go? Where can I find that thirst quenched? You know, when I turn on my radio, and as I listen to my radio during the day, am I going to find something on my radio that's going to quench this thirst that I have? Am I going to tune in at 7 o'clock, 101.5 FM, every evening, Monday through Friday, listen to Pastor Glaze because I want my soul to be quenched? Am I going to try to be around and involve myself in activities and people that will help quench this thirst that I have? You see, I believe it was St. Augustine that said that every person was created with a vacuum in the center of their heart. And the only person that could fill that vacuum, that was only meant for God. God was the only person who could fill that vacuum. But the sad thing is that we've tried to fill it with other things. And so some of us get up and we go out our day and we're seeking power. We're seeking to see how many people that we can be over. We're seeking to see how many people we can control, how many people that we can get over on, how many people that we can take advantage of. We're seeking power. And then some of us are seeking praise. You know, we're doing things because we want praise. We want people to see us. We want people to acknowledge us. We, you know, that's what we feed off of. That's what we are hungering for. We're hungering to hear people brag on us and to lift us up. And then some people are doing it and they just live their life for pleasure. I mean, their ultimate goal in life is pleasure of the flesh, pleasure of sinful activities, hedonism. You know, just turn on your TV and you see all type of hedonistic activities, all kind of activities that just are designed to please and to pleasure the flesh. And so some folk, that's what they seek. And then some people just want possessions. They want to get all they can all they get and throw away the can. You know, they just trying to get more and more possessions. And instead of seeking God and allowing God to be at the center of your life, at the center of your thirst, there are all these other things that are at the center of your thirst. The picture of thirst is this deer that's parched and dry. And the psalmist, when he reached out and tried to let people know where he was, you know, I haven't been to the house of God. I have been away from the fellowship of God's people. My soul is dry and I need God. And the only way I can express this is to say, just like the deer pants after the water, so my soul pants after you, God. The place of thirst is, look what he says, my soul. In your notes, it says the psalmist said that his soul thirsted after God. His soul, the Hebrew word nefesh, was his innermost being. This concept is captured beautifully in Psalm 103 in verse 1. You remember over there where the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And somebody help me out. What did he say? In all what? That is within me. All that is within me. Bless his holy name. All that is within me. Everything that I have that's deep down inside of me. Bless the Lord. Let everything, my heart, my soul, my organs, my innermost being all cries out for God. And you know the powerful thing? That when you have this thirst for God in your soul, you know, it's just like a junkie. You know, a junkie starts out with having this desire to get high. And then the junkie gets high. And then the next couple times that the junkie gets high, you know, it's pretty much in the mind, you know, that I need to get high. You know, I got this need to get high. And then, you know, eventually what happens? Your body starts to crave it. Your body starts to cry out for drugs. And it's the same way that if you will allow your soul just to be conditioned to thirst after God. Look what Psalm 84 and verse 2 said. Psalm 84 and verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of God. And look what happened. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Wow. Wow. My heart and my flesh. That if you will allow God to just fill your spirit, and you would allow God to just take control of your spirit and just seek him, thirst after him, eventually it works its way into your body, into your flesh. And then your flesh cries out. It makes you want to, you know, and I realize that different people have different ways of worshiping. That's why, you know, I don't beat anybody up if they don't stand up. You don't have to stand, because sometimes my best worshiping is sitting down. Sometimes that's my best worship. You know, just sitting there and meditating and listening to the Spirit and allowing God to work. But then it's me. Now, this is me. And other times, the Spirit will be moving so mightily down in my soul that I just got to stand up and raise my hand because my flesh is... See, anytime you stand up, it needs to be because the Spirit has worked in your soul and now it's gotten into your flesh. And the psalmist said here, I love this verse. Let me read it again. Let me go back and read it again. He said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of God. It started in his soul. My heart and my flesh, now they're crying out for God. See, the place of thirst is in your soul. If you are thirsting for God in your soul and your soul is crying out, it's not going to be long before your body starts to cry out too. And you're going to bow down. You're going to lay flat on your face. You're going to stand up and raise your hand. You might even get up here and do a little dance or whatever. You know, it's going to get into your flesh somewhere. You know, get into your feet. Your feet got dancing and you can't stop. You just got to keep moving. Why? Not because you're trying to put on a show. Not because you're trying to impress somebody. But because it's down in my soul. It's down in my soul. Anytime there's a reaction in your body.
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Thirsting for God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Thirsting for God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Thirsting for God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Thirsting for God. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.